Ramadan Mubarak. Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. It comes with millions and millions of barakat and blessings. And the sight of this, the proof of this, is visible from the first of Ramadan, the blessings and the mercies. That however many blessings and mercies that descend from the heavens, from the skies, Allah Ta'ala's blessings, every second, every moment, captures the blessings and mercies of Allah. From the first of Ramadan we can see this. And the sight of Ramadan, the first sign of Ramadan, the barakat of Ramadan, which is experienced by all, from the little children to the adults, and everyone can see and recognize that yes, most verily, Ramadan brings barakat, and they descend in Ramadan from the beginning, right from the outset. And what is that seen? That our masajids, our mosques, they fill up with the musallis, with the people who come to pray, to worship. Those same masjids that all year long are thirsty and desperate, looking out for the people to come and pray. And we human beings, we construct nice, beautiful masjids, we decorate them nicely. But it's sad. It's a sad situation. For the whole ummah, it's a sad situation that we forget the masjids, the houses of Allah. Now this, in reality, is not forgetting the masjids, the mosques. We are not forgetting the mosques. We're not far from the mosques. Rather, in reality, the truth is that we are far from Allah. We become far from Allah. Now this is a big reminder for us, Ramadan, from the first fast, that look, You are unfortunate, misfortune has befallen you, that you've left the house of Allah. And however many worries, difficulties are on the ummah today, restrictions, hurdles, adab from Allah, punishment from Allah, Allah Ta'ala's displeasure, there's wahid, one reason, and Ramadan reminds us this wahid, one reason for all of the issues, that we have forgotten and left the house of Allah and left it empty. If only we kept the house of Allah busy, occupied, as we do from the first of Ramadan, then Allah Ta'ala's rahmah and mercies, we would see them and we would realize that Allah Ta'ala never leaves the ummah of His Habib on its own. Would never do this. And this is a big message. This is a big message, a very big message for us. We unconsciously run towards the masjid when we do, but subhanallah, praise be to Allah, glory be to Allah, that the first barakah of Ramadan, the first blessing of Ramadan, that Allah Ta'ala shows, demonstrates, that this is the reflection of iman, that you run towards the sign of Allah. And the children and others, you will see from the beginning of Ramadan, that the masjids that we made and constructed beautifully and decorated them, then the masjid comes into its own. It starts to do shukr to Allah, that subhanallah. We were thinking that Allah, such a big masjid you've made me in this earth, and who will come to me? But what did we know? That Ramadan will come, this blessed month, the merciful month. And from the first day, the first barakah, blessing Ramadan, is Allah, that you fill the masjids. Aha, you will have seen Allah is merciful. Allah's karam. So this is a reminder. Unconsciously, we are seated into the masjid. We come into the masjid, and suddenly a love comes into our heart, which is really, in reality, it's natural for us. This is the first sign of iman. The run to the masjid, hasty. Come, haste, hasten to the masjid, hasten to the masjid, to the house of Allah. And the truth is, the reality is, as I've already said, that this is the reason why today we are, you can say, in a desperate situation. And the reason is because we've left the masjids, the house of Allah. We've gone far from the house of Allah. So we see three things in this point. That for everything, for to see the power of something, the importance of something, the status of something, or how beloved it is to Allah, to see something, to recognize how is it close to Allah, then there's a standard that we have, a gauge, a measuring gauge. And we can see through that lens. What is that standard? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how much dislike did he have with the action, or how much love did he have for the action? And what did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam do with regards to the action? And that's when we realize that if Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam loves an action, then Allah loves that action. It's apparent. This is the gauge, the measuring instrument. So how cautious was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How much important did he give towards going to the masjid, or for going to jama'ah prayer, congregation prayer? How much importance did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam lay on this? And we see the scene, we see the examples, that how this subject was presented to the Muslimin. about going to the masjid. Now, we look at the example of the final days in the life of Rasulullah ﷺ, whilst when he was ill, and he showed and demonstrated to the whole ummah that what is the importance of this action, that we have considered as such a small minor sin or error, that we don't even put it similar to the dust, the speck of dust, but we have don't even have the importance of praying salah in the masjid. We've seen people, there are many people with big titles, big claims, they'll do lots of wazifa and ibadat and worship, dhikr, adhkar and wazaif. Where did you pray salah? I prayed at home. But I did jamaat at home, congregation at home. That's it. Subhanallah. So whoever, whatever we look, what when we look at this subject, it doesn't ring in our heads. It doesn't vibrate in our heads to remind us that this is important. I remember an event in between, as we are discussing, there was an elder, wali of Allah. And this is common today, isn't it? That there was a wali of Allah, he was pious, virtuous. And this is common today that people will approach a pious person to ask for help. Somebody came to say, please come to my home, do dua for me. My business is struggling. My children are ill. They're struggling in their studies. Whatever we earn in our business, we get a loss. We don't get profit, we get lost. There are hurdles and problems, obstacles. We have issues and stories. Please come to our home, Hazrat, do dua for us. You will do dua for us and inshallah, rahmah will come. Some mercy will come. Please come to our home. So that wali, he was sahib al-qashf. He had vision. And soon as he entered the home, he said, what dua will I do here? The here I see misfortune, I see calamity, I have the feeling, what I realize here is that there are no jinn here, no ghosts here, there's no other issue here. The reason for your problems is that you don't pray salah, O men, folk in Jama'ah congregation, and your women, they don't pray salah in the beginning time, they delay their salah, and your children, they don't have a link with salah. This is it. This is what I see. That there's misfortune in your home. You don't need a ta'weez. Say the name of Allah. And from today, start salah. And inshallah, Allah, all of your difficulties and problems, Allah Ta'ala will eliminate them and wipe them away. So, for us, this is nothing. For us, this is nothing. Masjid is not important for us. Alhamdulillah, the way we make the masjid with desire and drive, and we give sadaqah and donations for making the masjid. And why do we do this? For the nafs to make a musalla, prayer room or a masjid. Yes, it's correct. There is reward for it. And after contributing to the masjid, we will get a place in Jannah. And we say this even though we may pray salah or not. And this is how we assist in the construction of the masjid, the house of Allah. Yes, we've taken a share. But tomorrow Allah will ask that, for example, have you ever done in the dunya, you spend money, you save up and you construct a very expensive and glorious looking house. And then afterward, at the end you say, I'm not going to live in there. Have you ever seen this in the world today? Any individual, human being, that he constructs a home beautiful and he doesn't want to live in it. So what is the link of the Muslim to the masjid? That the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam demonstrated to us in that stage of his life, illness, surveillance, and he still came to the masjid sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his blessed feet, they couldn't even come off the ground to walk. He had to drag his feet along the ground, and he needed assistance. He couldn't walk on his own. One hand, one arm was held and assisted by Hazrat Abbas radiallahu anhu, and the other hand was held by Hazrat Ali karamallahu wajh radiallahu anhu, and both of them assisted Rasulullah sallam for what action? Just to pray jamaat salah, congregation. This is deen. What a big action. And after this, can we get any better example to demonstrate the emphasis and criticality of praying salah in Jama'ah congregation? So we need to imagine that the biggest disaster that is befalling our lives as we speak, the ummah, as we speak, we've run away from the prayer in congregation. We think we have no link with salah in Jama'ah. And look at the example of love that Rasulullah gave about praying salah in congregation and the importance, how much importance. So this was the example of importance, wasn't it? When I gave that how Rasulullah came to pray salah in the masjid in congregation in his final days. And then let's talk about the love for coming to the masjid. There's a hadith of Hazrat Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu anhu, and we are all aware of this hadith. But this is a revision, reminder that in Masjid Nabwi, there was an elderly woman and she was poor, nobody would give her a second look, for example, importance. And she had a desire, passion, that when people were doing what they were doing, she had a broom, a sweep, a brush, and she wasn't there for politics, for noise, or glitter. Just like nowadays, people come to the masjid during the election time to get a seat, to get the vote. I ask for forgiveness, same thing, but this is the reality. But you won't see those same people praying salah in the masjid. Do they deserve to administer the masjid, to come into the masjid, to run the affairs of the masjid, to speak? Do they deserve this? This question doesn't arise. So, she was a woman, Sahabiya, friend of Allah, and she had the broom, the brush, she wanted to make the link with Allah. And she used to sweep the masjid, pick up the dust and the dirt and clean the masjid. Nobody would look at her, give her time, give her regard. And there were great sahabi at that time, all the sahaba. Alhamdulillah, but rahmatullil alameen, the Prophet Muhammad knew about this sahabiya, this woman. And for Rasulullah, she wasn't insignificant. She was important. Her actions were important. So once, what occurred was that she passed away. One day, the time came and she passed away. And look at now the love of Rasulullah for a person who has regard for the masjid. Because Rasulullah is the best of all creation. And once Rasulullah said to the Sahaba that, I can't see that woman. They said, Ya Rasulullah, which woman? And Rasulullah said, that woman who used to sweep in the masjid. And they thought, wow, so much importance. The Rasulullah is asking about her. Think for a second. This much importance for that woman? That what was her action? Just used to clean the mosque. And the Sahaba were a little bit surprised that Rasulullah, she passed away in the morning. Allahu Akbar. Look at the words that came from the blessed mouth of Rasulullah. That she passed away and you didn't tell me? She's passed away and you didn't tell me? Oh, subhanAllah. Imagine the Sahaba at that time when they heard this. That you didn't tell me? She's passed away? That woman? Come. Allahu Akbar. And they started and went towards the graveyard, Baqi. And the Sahaba went with Rasulullah. They went to the grave and Rasulullah prayed salah, takbir, and did dua for her. Allahu Akbar. Yani the whole of the world and the people, the Muslimin, have this desire. Every believer and the Sahaba, the likewise, and just like us, that we desire that we pass away like this. And Rasulullah comes to our grave and prays janazah salah and does dua for us. The Sahaba all desire this. In one narration, Rasulullah asked that woman, that tell, what was your action that gave you the greatest assistance in Akhirah? And she had reached the next world, and Rasulullah is asking, and she replied, Ya Rasulullah, the biggest action, the best action was I had the broom and the brush, and I used to clean the masjid. Clean the masjid. So this is the link with the masjid, just for sweeping, cleaning. And for that person who Allah Ta'ala has made the masjid for us to pray in jama'ah, to be joined and collective in salah. So what about that action? What will be the maqam and the status and reward for that? In the hadith it is stated that just to walk towards the masjid, to travel to the masjid, on every footstep, one good deed is written, one sin is removed. The further a person comes from, then this situation is there with the footsteps. So here, the writing and the recording of the good deeds and eliminating the sins is the welcoming of Allah to His servant. Is this called istiqbali ilahi? Where Allah Ta'ala welcomes the believers to the masjid. Forget the rewards, that's separate. That's going to happen anyway. But Allah Ta'ala says that look how this person who's coming to Allah's home, for example, somebody comes and he's coming as a guest and he's given red carpet treatment, so-called, isn't it? So his importance increases when he's given red carpet treatment. So Allah Ta'ala says that this traveler, his journey is unique. Don't look at his torn clothes, his disheveled hair. Don't look at his staff, his stick. Don't look at his bent back, hunchback. Don't look at his poverty. Why? Because the King of Kings, the Lord of the Universe, Rabbul Kareem, Allah, how much respect is there for the Musalli? That Allah Ta'ala says, I'll lay out the red carpet for the Musalli who comes to the masjid. What will be the maqam of Jamaat? Should we leave Jamaat? Congregation? Do we promise from today? Yes. Because this is the reason for our destruction today for the Ummah. And this is the message to the Ummah, the nation of the Muslims, Ramadan, that the reason for your loss and destruction today is because you've left Salah in the masjid. Today I've come to you to remind you. And it's not your achievement that you've come today to the masjid. It's not your achievement that you come to pray to the masjid. This is Allah Ta'ala's barakah. He's given us the month of barakah, and the month of barakah is dragging us to the masjid. For example, a flood, when it flows the water, and the water, it drags across it all. It brings into its path all the wood and the timber and the debris that's in its path. So the same way Ramadan is flowing and it's dragged us and sucked us towards Allah Ta'ala's home and coming to the masjid, walking to the masjid, sitting in the masjid. Allah Ta'ala has created the love in our hearts, and Allah Ta'ala showed us, demonstrated us in Ramadan. Allah Ta'ala has put His mercies and barakat that the first Ramadan, the first night, we haven't even fasted, and when the announcement for the new moon comes, the first action, what will that be? That the whole Ummah will run towards the masjids and the masjids will be full. Alhamdulillah. This is the first message of Ramadan for the Ummah. This is the first message. And after Ramadan, we shouldn't leave the masjids. We shouldn't leave Allah's home. Tell your children, try to bring them to the masjid, however much health and energy you've got. This is the most highest action of the insan, human being, that he hastens to the masjid all the time. What is the reward? Now we go towards the reward. Allah Ta'ala welcomes the believers to the masjid. And the dislike for this, if I say, oh, I'll pray at home, my prayer is accepted. First, let's look at the hadith of Hazrat Abu Dawud. his salah is not accepted. The person who prays at home without any sharan excuse, the person who prays at home, his salah is not accepted. So what's the what about his rest of his actions? Will they be accepted? What tasbih will be accepted? What amal will be accepted? What action will be accepted? What of his will be accepted? Oh, I don't want to go masjid. This, I've got problems, difficulties. Tell me wazifa, tell me a prayer, tell me a dhikr, tell me the Quranic verse. What shall I recite? What will be accepted? Apart from problems, difficulties, issues, worries and arguments, what else will come in the home? That where the woman doesn't pray salah in the first time, and the menfolk don't run to the masjid, in that home never can come sakina, peace and contentment. Who is giving this message? Not me. Who? Ramadan is giving this message. Allah Ta'ala says, from the first Ramadan, you fill the masjids, then I fill your fridges with the food, with bread. What Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has given to us in Ramadan, He gives us food and all of our requirements Allah Ta'ala fulfills. Where does all of this come from? Where does the rizq come from? Allah Ta'ala says, "Fis samawati wal ard." Allah says, from the heavens and the earth, the rizq is given to mankind. Allah says, I give you my signs from the heavens and from the earth. I fill up the whole space with rizq, with wealth and sustenance. Allah says, "Fis sama," rain falls from the skies. Allah Ta'ala says, the angels don't come down, do they, with the rizq? Not the angels. What happens? The rain drops fall, droplets. And the droplets of rain, they're created in the clouds. And then they fall, and every raindrop, it's written that which soil particle are you going to fall on, and which fruit will emanate from within you. And this is written on every particle. Fis sama. Fis sama. Every drop of rain is valuable. It cannot dare to fall on that piece of earth where it shouldn't be destined for. Allah Ta'ala writes on that droplet of earth that this is where you're going to fall. And there, when you fall, this tree will grow, or the date will grow, or a pomegranate will grow, or a mango tree will grow, or date palms will grow. And subhanAllah, here, if you want to, you can try to put and grow a certain type of tree. But we can't do it. We need hot weather and climate. We say yes, but first and foremost, we need Allah and His permission. What do we need? We need Allah. Allah Ta'ala has made a system, a cycle. Fis sama wal ard. The work of the earth is after. First, from the heavens and skies, the drops of rain, they fall. And they give the instruction that here you have to fall. And it falls on the same earth, that droplet, where the apple tree will grow, or where the other fruits will grow. Wal ard. And then the earth fulfills the second function. When it gets the message that this raindrop has come with a message from its Rabb, that you have to drop on this soil, give it nourishment, nurture that soil, give it energy, and then the apple tree will grow here, or the mango tree will, whatever will grow here. This is the order that's given. So there's no difference in the soil, the dirt, the sand, throughout the world, in the rocks and the stones. But Allah Ta'ala gives the difference, because Allah gives hukm, that you, O rain, when you fall here, this is what you need to create. You have to create and allow this certain tree or fruit to grow here. Is this not the case? So now look towards the displeasure of Allah. What is the displeasure with relation to not coming to the house of Allah? Look, for not praying salah in jama'at, then who will tell us this? Who will tell us this? Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is enough to tell us. He's told his ummah the three things. What is the displeasure with regards to not praying in jama'at? Congregation, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in hadith, it's a famous hadith, we keep on reading it. And when we go in jama'at, we hear these things. This is what we hear in jama'at, isn't it? That's why we go in jama'at. These nasiha, advices. So, what is the displeasure? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rahmatul alamin, who is a mercy to the universe. And look at the words that came from him. What words he stated with regards to not praying salah in jama'at. Imagine how unhappy and angry he was at that time. Rasulullah said that if prayer is happening in congregation, I'll tell you the meaning of the hadith. I feel that I sign somebody else to be imam, and azam has been given, and somebody else leads the salah, and I go and I tell somebody to collect the firewood, and we go to that home, in that house, that family where there is that person is not praying salah in jama'at, and I feel like I want to burn that house. Now what happens when something burns? Then everything disappears, isn't it, when a person doesn't pray salah? So this is the example here, the hint here that Rasulullah is given of how displeased he is about people who don't pray in jama'at. So when a house burns, is anything saved? Not the house, the structure, the framework. A few days ago, somebody's house burnt and he cried, the man. He said, nothing's saved. This person passed away. And we read it in the papers, isn't it? The fire devoured everything. And so Rasulullah said, that home in which the menfolk don't pray salah in jama'at, they have no shari excuse, then everything is lost in that home, isn't it? He may see physical life. It's a sample. These are ruh without a life. Empty roofs. Just like a person, there's a picture is hanging on the wall, and you see pictures of people, images, there's no barakat, there's no life in it. And so the people who live in the house and where people don't pray salah in jama'at, then we're just like zombies, isn't it? The children, the men, folk, women. So here, the Rasulullah is giving the example that I feel like putting the house on fire. So we can't see the fire, but we'll see the physical destruction within the home. Loss. Negative. That ummah, we see the destruction. That Allahu Akbar, we've like an empty box. The ummah is like a burnt out straw. That's what's happened to us, because we don't hasten to the masjid, to the house of Allah. For us, we have nothing, no energy, no capacity, no power. Why? Because we've left the houses of Allah, so Allah Ta'ala has left us. Allah has left us. So this is the message of Ramadan, my friends. I'm not a muqarrar, I haven't come here to give you a speech, I've come here to host dhikr, to lead dhikr. Many scholars come here, mashallah, they sit here, they explain to you things. So I seek forgiveness, I'm just mentioning a few words for my rectification. I'm a fakir, I don't know how to give a speech, I don't even know how to speak. So that's it really, I just speak, you know, whatever comes to mind, maybe not flowing, mashallah, many scholars come here, ulama, muqarrars come, and you listen to them, and hear what they have to say. So I took a bit of your time, for this reason, that just thoughts came to my mind, along the way, Allah Ta'ala put this into my mind and heart, that this is the first barakah of Ramadan. What is it? Where do you see it? What is the barakah? Where do we see the signs of Allah? In the masjid, the blessing of Ramadan. So this is a big, Ramadan comes with a letter from Allah. Wake up, be alert, you leave the masjid, death is close to you. Your life will be destroyed. And in Allah Ta'ala's court, everything's finished. You'll have nothing. This is the hadith. Importance. Allahu Akbar. Jama'at. Congregation prayer. The person who prays in jama'at. Congregation. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. In the darkness. Allahu Akbar. MashaAllah has given us a chance. The tarawih is in the darkness. In the night, everyone's running to the masjid. And Fajr Salah in the morning is about 2 a.m. 2:30 a.m. Some places it's 1 a.m. Everything's happening in darkness, isn't it? Subhanallah, Ramadan has brought with it rahmas and mercy for every ummati. There's an opportunity of rahmah and mercy for every ummati. What? The what a big barakat and blessing. This is what you call blessing. What has Ramadan given to us? There's a hadith that those people who come to the masjid, hasten to the masjid in the darkness, on the day of judgment, Allah Ta'ala will give light to that person. The day when there will be extreme darkness, Allah will give light. Imagine the light Allah will give. The light or the candle. Which wind can blow out that candle? Huh? How can anybody eliminate that light? And will there be darkness on the bridge of Surat for that person? Will there be darkness in the grave for that person? That will be the light. So great will that be light that any power of the world that comes, any disasters in the world or issues or in the hereafter, that light will continue to glow. That light will continue to flow and demonstrate the light. When we lower into the grave, from that station, the grave, it will continue to the day of judgment, the bridge of Surat through the day of Hashar, and it will take us, the people, who are going to hasten to the masjid, to the gardens of paradise. So where do we get this light from? Where do we get this nur from? For this one reason, that come and pray Salah in Jama'ah, in congregation. So these are the messages of Rasulullah, the 3 points through the blessings of Ramadan, that when I become displeased, I become so displeased, I want to set the house on fire. When I'm happy, I'm so happy that I want that light to glow in the heart of that person. When I appreciate so much that one woman who came to the house of Allah and used to clean the masjid, he, Rasulullah, went and did dua at her grave. Subhanallah, speak about hal, the situation. And even today, the people who love the masjid, who attach themselves to the house of Allah, even today the people who love the masjid, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gives the conclusion of that love, that even their last breath is drawn out in the masjid. They pass away in the masjid, the blessed vicinity of the masjid. And this old woman who gave that message to us, she was such a great woman, mashallah, what iman she had. And she gave the message that you also should serve the masjid and love the masjid and attach yourself to the masjid, just like Rasulullah ﷺ came to my grave. Likewise, this can happen to you also. And he can reach. Allah Ta'ala can send the du'as from here on his behalf to you. And your qabr, the nur, the light will come into your qabr. And when the questions will be asked, who is this person? Man Rabbukum? Man Deenukum? Man Rasulukum? And Rasulullah ﷺ himself will be there standing and smiling, and that I've come myself. And here's the answer to the question. So my brothers, we should put good habits into our life in Ramadan from today. We promise, don't we? Whatever happens, if it's an extreme excuse, shara, that tells us we can leave the Jama'ah congregation Salah in the masjid, otherwise we should never leave it. And this is the habit of Ramadan. Just take this one habit, alhamdulillah, and then I think and I feel that we've attained the whole of Ramadan. May Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq and us all. I am weak, mashallah, you are pious people. So we should all try and make effort for this.